John chapter 12. Thank the Lord for, again, him being in the midst, and thank you for being willing to be in the midst with him. And really something that I'm going to call the cause of Jesus Christ. The cause of Jesus Christ. In this world, it seemed like there's always some cause competing for the attention of God. And we say it often. You know, it's funny, I feel weird saying this, but I feel like all I've been doing lately is just preaching Christ. And I don't know if it's, praise God, amen, but I there are so many other things in the Bible, and I keep thinking about going a different direction, but I just keep coming back to Him. And I mean, I guess I trust by God's grace that we need more of Him. But you know, I found in my life, I think somebody gave a testimony of being in the midst to believe that we can make a difference. Did somebody say something about that, to that effect? Okay, and you know, and one of the things that happens sometimes because of that lack of belief, it's so easy to get consumed in different earthly causes. And not that they're bad in of themselves, but the main cause is the one that we find from our Savior. And so we just want to look at His life for a little bit today. And again, it'll be nothing new, but it'll be the Word of God, and I trust that God will speak to your heart. But I want to finish in a way to where I represent my Savior properly. If this were the last day I live, I hope my Father will say I was like His Son. And I have every reason that I can be like His Son. I have the Word of God, I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me to direct me and to guide me. The Bible, in fact, God protected us so much, He said we don't even need to have another man teach us. If we really submit ourselves to God, we will know the will of God. Amen. And that's what God desires. But in John chapter 12, we'll start reading verse number 27, where you notice that the Word of God does say this: "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." As you're probably aware, He's getting ready to be crucified. And His soul is troubled. I don't think so much about the pain of the cross, but the death and the separation from His Father. But He recognizes that though He could cry out to be saved from this, but this is the very hour. In fact, I would say it's the only hour that He came into the world for. That He might be crucified so that you and I can experience life. And why should I be saved from this? This is the cause of my physical existence in this world. Verse 28. "Father, glorify Thy name." I like the sound of that. "There came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered." Has the voice of God ever thundered to you? Amen. You're missing out of your head. Just seek Him a little bit more. He will. I promise. You know, it's like a ton of bricks. You're like, woo! And it says here, Jesus answered and said, look in verse 30, "The voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Well, thank God we have the victory already because of what Jesus did on the cross. I was thinking today, you know, we already won. You know, I was thinking about different sporting events where people win, and people really don't mind victorious people sometimes. But you know what disgusts some people and disturbs some people? It's the manner in which they win. And think about your life. The Bible said that you and I, if you're saved today, you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And what's going to determine how people view our victory is the manner in which we win. Think about that. "Now is," verse 31, maybe again, "now is the prince of this world judged." Now is the judgment of this world. "Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he says, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That's tragic. That the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arms of the Lord been revealed? That's what you may wonder. Sometimes we pass out lots of tracts. Lord, who believed the report? What people you witness to. Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of them. Nevertheless, the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They didn't handle their victory very well. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words, and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, magnify and glorify thyself through preaching and through hearing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now thank you for standing. And since every jot and tittle of the Bible is important, every word is important, but the word cause is the word that means to produce an effect. Jesus had a cause when he came here. He had an effect he wanted to produce. It also means the reason or the motive that urges. He said, the reason I actually put on this robe of flesh, he's saying, is that I was urged to do something. I had something I needed to do. I didn't just put on this robe of flesh because it seemed like I want to do something new today. That I wanted to come walk around for 33 years. I had a cause. It was a reason that I did this. It also impels the mind to act or decide. And Jesus expresses a cause here that he was in an hour that honestly many of us really, by personal choice, probably wouldn't think, that's not really what I want to do. But if you're saved by the grace of God and you understand anything about the life of the cross at all, you understand that that's what I must do. Because that's what I'm here for. At least, if not, I hope you understand that a little more when we finish the message. The first thing I want you to notice, number one, that the cause of Jesus Christ, we'll find in verse 28, his cause, first of all, was total submission to glorify the Father's name. And you might add this, by any means necessary. Total submission to glorify the Father's name by any means necessary. Because he said, I'm not running for this hour. Father, you brought me here. So in this hour that you brought me here, would you right now, Father, glorify thy name. And you notice, I like the way he says that, because he didn't add conditions to that. Now, I just prayed that God would magnify himself through preaching. And that's not wrong, I trust, because I'm getting ready to preach, and through preaching and hearing. But you know what needs to be in my life is a blank check before God, to where any given moment, that my being and my existence, that I can stop and look to heaven, and really I should really only have to say it once, but since Paul said that he died daily, it'd probably be a good idea every day for me to stop and look up to heaven and say, Father, glorify thy name. And that would mean, what generally happens in the way we live life is we determine a cause and we set a direction. We say, Father, I'm headed here. Would you glorify yourself through what I'm doing? Amen. That's not bad if you know that you're doing what God told you to do. But all too often, we have a cause, we have a program, we have a plan, and we say, Father, would you use this for your glory? And many times, that's why in those situations, life is somewhat powerless, because There's no confidence to call upon the Father's name because there's no complete assurance that you're doing the will of God. But when you are in the will of God, in the way of God, and you're doing exactly what God wants you to do, then there's that assurance. It's the Father, glorify thy name. Whatever you need to do, and as our Savior understood, this was the hour that he came for. This miserable, wretched, humiliating death that he was going to experience, he was in total submission that the Father's name would be glorified. Him being God, he could understand it completely. Him being God, he knew the ins and outs of all of it. But us being fallible men, we need to have a cause like this, that Father, since you're right, and since you're the Lord, would you take me and glorify thy name? Imagine what would happen to Christians all over the world if that just became their cause. That they just parked their life and said, Father, glorify your name by whatever means necessary. If I have to be poor, I'll be poor. If I have to be rich, I'll be rich. If I have to be sick, I'll be sick. If I have to be persecuted, I'll be persecuted. If I have to suffer, I will suffer. If I have to sacrifice, I will sacrifice. If I have to experience the death of the cross, by whatever means necessary, Father, the hour that you brought me, you brought me here for an hour that you would be glorified, and it just so happens that you chose the cross for me, and I believe in you, that you will not leave my soul in hell, you will not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, so your will is not bad for me, your way is not bad for me, Father, glorify thy name. Amen. He was okay with that. He said, this is the cause I came for. Not to exalt my name. He said, my Father will take care of that. Amen. Then he thou hast given him a name which is above every name. His Father took care of his glorification. And we see that in the text here. He said, the voice thundered and it said, the people therefore that stood by heard it. Well, I didn't read it. It says, then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by heard it and said that it thundered. He said, I've glorified, you know what he's saying? He said, I've glorified my name through you. But I told them, I prophesied you were coming. I prophesied that you would be born of a virgin. I prophesied that you would be pure, the pure, spotless Lamb of God. I prophesied, in fact, I prophesied the man that would testify when you walked in one day that he would say, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He said, I've glorified my name through you already. I'm going to keep going. And I like this number two, because Jesus Christ says here, Jesus said, answering verse 30, after this voice of thunder, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Second cause, to give his life that others may hear the voice of God. To give his life that others may hear the voice of God. Now, I thank God for the comforting word of God and for the Holy Ghost of God. But it's not just for me to stop and digest and stay here. Everything about me is I live and I sacrifice. If I'm going to take on the purpose of Christ, that even though someone it is for me, it testifies of me, it testifies to me, it's not really for me. God works in me, not just for me to be a living island all to myself, but that somehow, by the grace of God through me, and because of the life I live, others will hear the voice of God. Anybody ever heard the voice of God before? Was it a mediocre experience to you? I mean, really, was it just me, well, I talked to God today. Or what is it like? Whoa, man. Honey, let me tell you. Let me tell you what God told me recently. If it's that, then live, die, so that others may hear that same voice. Was it a blessing when you heard his voice? Did it pull you out of a pit ever? Did it pull you out of a dark situation ever? Did it give you hope when you felt like there was no hope? Did it comfort you in the midst of agonized emotional turmoil? Anybody? Amen. Yeah, so then that's the voice that everybody needs to hear in my Savior. Now think about this. He's getting ready to be crucified. He's getting ready to be slain. He's getting ready to be humiliated for all the wonderful works. If we had taken time to read it in the same chapter, they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And now, in a few short while later, they didn't believe on him. How quickly they turned against him. But this voice that came from heaven, this wasn't for him. And he knew that. Right now, what I'm preaching, this, you know, it hit me already, but this voice is so that somebody else can hear the voice of God. I'm trying to live by the grace of God, because it's not within me that you hear the voice of God today. And that voice will thunder in your heart and give you a cause that you can walk into the most, in the eyes of the world, the most difficult earthly situation and have joy if you testify. Or that your brothers and sisters in Christ can walk in the most dismal situation and you think, man, thank God that's a servant of God. I wrote my brother back and I told him how encouraged I was by him willing just to be a pick up and drop and move. And I said, my brother, I want you to understand. I said, I'm not living the life that you're living right now. So I'm not making light of the difficulties that you're going through and your wife's adjustment, your children's adjustment, all the things that you generally don't write in prayer letters because people will think you're weak, you know. But I'm saying you have encouraged this brother by your willingness just to do whatever it takes and to take every situation as an opportunity for the cause of Christ. He's not sitting there belly aching saying, hey, this is what we get to do, man. He's looked the area over. He said, the gospel is needed here. Look at what we can do. He said, we're here that somebody else might hear the voice of God. Number three, and we'll look at verse 31 for this one, to completely sacrifice his life so that all men will be drawn unto him. He said in verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, now he's not talking about being preached about right now. If you know the Bible, you know this. He's not talking about people lifting him up and saying how good he is. He's saying the means by which all men will be drawn unto him is a complete sacrifice of his earthly existence. We call that death. And he's saying, that's what I'm here for. That's my cause. So that, it didn't say most men there. It says that all men. How much sacrifice is enough? Well, have you had an impact on all men yet? If you're working a job, how many people are you supposed to reach there? Well, I'd say probably all of them. I was thinking about somebody in my building the other day that I haven't really got to preach Christ to yet. There's probably many, I mean, the ones I've physically seen, there's people that, somebody coming out, do they live up there? You live in a big apartment building, it's hard to see them all, you know. And I thought to myself, God, I want to talk to that person. The coffee shop where I study the Bible a lot of Saturday afternoons, the owner, they just sold the shop, and I got to think, you know, I really hadn't preached Christ to the owner yet. And so I went in yesterday afternoon, said my Bible, and got to talk with her about Christ and give her some gospel tracts, and I'm there to reach all of them. That's why I'm here. And it's completely sacrificed. He says, and I, verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up, that means if I be stretched up in complete humiliation and crucified, beaten, mocked, made fun of for the good deeds I did. Physician, heal thyself, they would say to him. He said, that happened so that I could draw him to me. He said, I'm up here on the cross. And now he's not laughing. I'm not minimizing. He's saying they're crucifying, they're mocking, they're scorning. He said, I'm doing this so that the ones that are mocking me will come to me. That one that stuck that spear in my side, that was for him. He stuck that spear in. I took his spear in my side for him. The one that nailed the first nail, he said, that nail he put in me was for him. And the other nail, the one that spit upon me, that spit that I took was for him that spit it. The one that pressed down the crown of thorns and on my head and put the purple, the scarlet robe around me and mocked me. And that was for him. That was for them. So I lived this sacrifice that they will all be drawn unto me. He says here, this verse 34, and then the people answered him, we have heard of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. This is something we probably hit often around here, but the call of Jesus Christ is to live his life completely, to be a light in a dark world. You know, it's the answer for darkness in every situation is light. If you want to be guided through a dark situation, you don't go pick up, I found a flashlight, and you take, unscrew the lid, take the batteries out. No, because it won't do you any good. You put a resource that has some light. And anytime you have some darkness, you want some type of light. Even people that think they like the dark, they want some degree of light. I like night, but I don't like darkness. Because if it's night's good, but darkness is no good, because you can't do anything. I like the way the light sets against the backdrops at night. I like coming to the city at night and sometimes seeing the lights. To me, those are beautiful. Or it's better when you get outside the city, get in the country, and see the lights that God made, those things. But he said, I'm come to be a light. In fact, in verse 46, he said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus never coveted the dark life. He said, I'm the answer for it. Amen. And that's what he came to be, the answer. That was his cause. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's not the hour to be saved from. That's the cause that we're here. That's the cause of Christ. If you're saved today, that is because Jesus maintained his cause. And he said, I am come. He said, the reason I'm here is to be that light. Not just, he said, this thing we're talking about, this is why I'm here. This is not part of what I do while I'm here. He said, no, this is the whole reason. This is the cause. This cause came I unto this hour. Imagine how, I mean, if, you know, when a person maintains a cause, man, they're focused. People that accomplish things, the people that maintain a cause. When people say hit and miss, they think about this, think about that, they're all over the map, so to speak. But if God's people just look, this is my cause, we would be amazed at what God could do with us and through us. You ever said, testify how God fought for her? God will fight for anybody if we maintain his cause. And that was just in a situation at home. Imagine what he would do in our complete lives if we... You ever ask yourself, if this is true that I'm preaching, what does that mean for your life? How would you live a life to where your cause is total submission to glorify the Father? How would you live a life to where you live only that others would hear the voice of God? What does that leave our plans and our dreams and our personal lives? And you know, it's funny, in the New Testament, you don't hear too much about occupations. Except with Paul saying he made some tents to get from one place to the next. No certain dwelling place the disciples had. But imagine what that would mean. You know, we've only scratched the surface of what it means to depend upon God. One of the greatest times of my life, some missionary complained about deputation, because I was, wow, to go out with nothing and to be see situations where God would just do amazing things to provide. I mean, I'm not talking about churches and offering, but I'm like I've testified before, I mean, a stranger one time gave me $100 in the Wendy's, and we needed a muffler fixed. Strange things just happened, you know. All different types of sources God would provide, give things, provide things. And just to see his hand and to be used to give and help other missions along the way. And even being here, see strange things happen. To be a light in a dark world. The darkness isn't changing, but unfortunately the light's been changing. Because it's not enough to keep the calls of Christ. Last thing, and it's very simply goes along with the light, here in verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. The word judge here in the context means condemn. like Brother David asked a prayer for Mark, because he did not receive the gospel. He didn't condemn him. He said, "Could we pray for him?" He said, "Thou judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." The last call of Jesus Christ. Some of them we probably mentioned, but that he came to save the world. Can you let that sink in just for a minute? That the call of Jesus Christ was to save the world. Is it biblical that we're supposed to be like Christ? Is that a biblically accurate statement? So what should our cause be, would you think? So we have the same cause as Jesus Christ? I want you to think about that. We know that intellectually. We know that, of course, Pastor Harper in church with me. Duh! But when you see that person that you know is in darkness, is there anything about you that does not rest and say, you know what, I'm sent to be their Savior? And that you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying people can't save anybody. But do you understand that lost person that you're allowed to see, you weren't sent to say, man, that's a hopeless case. You were sent to save that person, to be used to save that person, to be accurate. I was talking to a man in my neighborhood just yesterday. And I know I told you I was supposed to go to church last Sunday. And I said, I told you not to promise. I said, I just want you whenever you can get here, you know. He said, I'm going to come one of these days just honor you. And I said, no, I'd much rather you come for Jesus Christ. But he made this statement. It really kind of opened my eyes. He said, yes, but God sent you here for me. That's exactly what he told me. He said, God sent you here for me. I drove away, and it humbled me. It kind of scared me, actually. I was like, I was just around the corner, and I stopped, and I thought, oh my. But I thought, but he's right. For this cause, I was sent to my neighborhood. For this cause, I live where I live. For this cause, when I work, the secular time, when I throw the paper routes, when I do the moving jobs, different things that I've done, God sent me to save them. God sent me to be their light. I'm glad Jesus maintained his cause. I'm saved because he did. You know, you say, but what about this? But what about that? Well, yeah, but I would say, what about it? You know? Right now, let's say, for instance, we're here having church, right? And from what I can tell, everybody's listening pretty intently for the most part. But now, can you imagine, what if Naomi started choking to death right now? And I just kept on talking. You know, and I think Larry is versing CPR. She's actually certified. I know CPR, and I studied occasionally just to see what changes a little bit, just so I can save somebody's life if I need to. But can you imagine if we just kept on with our normal program, and the precious little girl here is choking to death, and it not occurred to one of us, well, Kenny's right next to her. Why don't Kenny do something? But we say, well, Bavon, that's her mother. Well, why don't Bavon help her? They know more. Why doesn't Bavon help her? It's her own daughter. Why doesn't Bavon try to be used as a vessel to see her saved? That's her child. Well, Brother David, he's the head of the house. Why didn't he do it? And we all just kind of, says Kenny's right there. And Davidson, he's part of the family too. Davidson, why don't he do something, you know? And right there. We're just all going to sit there. Well, they're closer. And they're right there. And instead of us all really running into each other, It is one reason she should die, because we were all in the way. You know what I'm saying? We should all be saying, what in the world can we do right now that this person is saved? Because you're choking to death, and we're the answer. But it's so easy in this world to get caught up in our program. You know, just as real as that, if that were happening right now, just as real as that would be to you and I, your neighbor, your co-worker, your family member is on the verge of death. And God's asking you and me, what cause are you going to live for? And you know what? That may seem kind of heavy, but there should be something about it. I'm saved. What other cause would I live for? Instead of it being heavy, it's like, there should be like, yeah, God saved me. That's right. That's what He saved me for. He made me a new creature to live a new life, not to carry the old life and try to pack in some of the new life with it. He made me new. Because that's what verse 28 said, or verse 29, and we know that all can work together for good. No, actually, I'm thinking about the verse after, where it said, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Verse 18 said, well, he likes 17, and we know that all things, wait a minute, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Therefore, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And verse 18 says this, and all things are of God. That's part of the new life. All things are of God. And all things are of God in the new man, in the new woman, in the new life that He gave us, in the new way. Amen? The new and living way. You know, because you know what happened, you know, because what would happen if something like that happened, you know, like we would sit there and pass away. I thought surely somebody would do something. And we all sit back and precious little girl's gone. And we thought, we're better than that. People are going out in eternity today that Jesus gave His blood for. And God says, you're the answer. He said, you're the one. He said, Jesus said, I came into this world not to condemn it, not to say they're hopeless, not to say they're beyond help, but Jesus said, I came into this world to save them. And when you and I are resurrected with that new life, He gave us that same cause. You know what it may mean? It may mean a lot more people need to die an early death. Scary as it may seem. But that's okay, because we have eternal life. Right? Is eternal life real? Does eternal life mean eternal? Raise your hand if you believe heaven is going to be better than this life we live right now. So why do we hold on to this one? Why do we hold on to this one like it's the only one we're ever going to get? Instead of saying, you know what, I've got this short bit of time right now, Father, whenever, wherever, however, please glorify Yourself through me, because when I meet You face to face, I want You to be pleased with the new creature You made. I want You to somehow know that I appreciate this salvation that You gave me. This new life You gave me is not just to enjoy everything that You already made, but it's to enjoy You. I'm personally connected to You now. I'm a joint heir with You. I'm a co-laborer with You. I'm one of Your own children. What more can I need? What more can I want? So one today, the invitation is simple. When's the last time you just thank God for being saved? When's the last time you picked up your Christian cause? Is there room? Let me ask you, is there room for the cause of Christ in what you're doing right now? There should be. That should be the emphasis of everything we do. But how will I eat? How will I live? Well, I don't know. I'm not God. God's the one that saved you. Surely if He gave you eternal life, can He provide for you? Can He fill you with the Holy Spirit? Can He allow that light to shine? Well, but you understand all these expectations and all the things. My life is this, and my family is this, and this, and my culture this, and my whatever this. And you put your fear in there. Put your reason there where you're saying, well, I can't really live this cause right now. You put your thing in there, and that you're using that thing, and say, well, tell it to God. And he would say, you know what, I had the glory of all eternity on my side. And I decided to come down and take on the form of a servant, be robed in flesh, or people look at me just like I'm an ordinary man, and I'm God in the flesh. In fact, I was so secure in who I was, I'm even going to wash these disciples' dirty feet. And I'm not just going to wash their feet in any normal way, I'm going to wash their feet naked, in the utmost of complete vulnerability and humility, so they know that when I ask them to be like me, I know what it's like to be, they know, I know what it's like to ask them to be like me. So they know that I know what it's like to be robed in flesh and to be expected to be like me. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings and infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. So I know what it's like to be the highest of the high and to serve in the lowest of the low. I know what it's like to love more, to do more, to sacrifice more than absolutely anybody else and be despised, to be rejected, to be unappreciated, to be overlooked, to be taken advantage of, to be abused. He said, I know what that's like. But would you understand, please, that that's how I was used to save you? And I hope somehow he would say that the joy of my salvation that I've given you is worth going through what I went through for you. I've said it before, but one of the most amazing statements I'll ever read in the Bible, when the Bible says the Father said regarding his Son, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Amen. That's right. You know what he's saying, but praise God. If the stones won't cry out, a little baby will. Amen. God is amazing. You never know what God has to make. God so loved the world that when he gave his only begotten Son, that humiliation of perfect deity and sacrifice was so precious to him because he so loved you and me that God would willingly sacrifice part of himself, and not just be burned up and die, but that manner of death because he so loved. And he did it that way because he knew he'd have servants coming behind him that would be weak like you and I are. And they get wrapped up and caught up in things of this world, and we think that life is hard sometimes. And it's only because we don't have the right cause. Because his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. You know why his yoke really is easy? Because his yoke demands one simple thing. It just demands death. Because the moment we die, it's easy, right? There's no pain in death. Well, if you're dead. I was hearing Brother Mike Lopez preaching. He said, a dead man has no emotions. Dead man has no feelings. Dead man doesn't, not concerned about what clothes he wears. Dead man, he doesn't have any ties to this world. And he can be despised, rejected, abused. Dead man doesn't care at all. He's dead. The only life he has is that which will be given unto him. If you and I are dead to Christ and we die every day with the God, this is your life. Whatever you want it to be, whether it be the cross, or whether it be some glorious thing on this earth that matters to me, as long as you get the complete glory. And it's like I said on, I think it was Thursday night, you know, there's no middle ground, you know. The only place you'll ever fit in is life and consecration and obedience unto the Lord. And if you're saved today, why would you not want to carry on the cause of Christ? And if you're not saved today, why would you, after hearing how much God loved you, how He so loved you, that He did all these things so you would know His love, why would you want to stay in your own way, knowing how temporal these things here are? We have a great God. We have a wonderful Savior. Let's live for His glory. Let's live for His honor. I hope the Spirit of God has met with your heart today. And maybe there's some causes that have been in your life that you know that that's the driving force of what your existence is right now. I hope that the Spirit of God has spoken to you in such a way you can be liberated from that cause. And so you can actually take on a cause that will make an eternal difference. And take on a cause that will bring glory to the Father that created you. And so the Father that made you fearfully and wonderfully, they said, that my soul knows right well. That cause that you may be afraid of taking on, God made you for it. He knows you. He didn't make mistakes about His choices. Trust Him. Trust the One who is love. Fearfully, wonderfully, you're made just strong enough to have the Spirit of God live inside of you so that God can do the work through you. Resist the devil. When he brings up if you're saved, he brings up your list of faults. You say, that's right, but I'm under the blood. The One I serve has all power. You know what that means? His power is even greater than me. So I'm not going in authority of my name, I'm going in authority of Jesus' name. Father, so many more things I'd like to say, but you're good. We could talk all day about how good you are. But Lord, you know what you'd like to accomplish today. And I pray that I've only said what you wanted to be said. Lord, I just pray. Lord, I think it's a tragedy in my own personal life of how many times I've allowed my life to be confused by different causes and not kept your cause, not the main cause, but the cause. I pray, Father, that you would help those of us that know you, that your cause would be the cause of our life. And I pray, Father, if there be anyone here today that's not saved, oh God, I pray they would stop looking at that glory. They would look today at that glorious sacrifice that Jesus made for them. How Jesus Himself gave up the way of perfect deity to be robed in flesh so they could be freed from their own way. Would you give them the faith to turn from their way to the way and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And oh God, I thank you for being a wonderful God. I thank you for being so long-suffering and patient and continually pursuing people and trying to give us an opportunity to be used in the way that you were used, so that others could be saved like you saved us.